Hello, everybody. Welcome to the last event in our little festival. We're now going to try and have a Skype call with St. Petersburg, and I don't know whether that's going to just let you know again that that's going to be undoubtedly unreliable and it's not going to work. But we will at least, we're going to try and have video, and if that freezes, then we'll carry on with audio. We'll try not to freeze in a really pixelated image like we did the other day. And if that really doesn't work, then I've got a phone and I can phone Dimitri in his house. He's put his kids to bed now, so he's we've got his full attention. So the idea is that we'll have a little chat with Dimitri. I might ask him just to, some of you might not know about Stodolat, the group, so I might ask him to just give you a little bit of information about them, maybe think about some of the typical, the ways that they try and work, and then that might allow us to then, so maybe just for 10 minutes, and then we'll watch two films, and then I think it was a really nice suggestion at the end of the previous discussion that we think about those films in relation to other things that might be going on, or how they cause us to think about our own situation. So I wonder if we can try and bring up Dimitri.
Yeah, hello.
Dimitri, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
We can see
you. You see me, yes?
Yeah, you can see us.
And you hear me, very well. Thank you so much for invitation and using this distant high-tech technology for connecting us. So, and I'm very pleased. It's quite very late already in Petersburg, but I'm night walker, so it's fine. So, and just to be extremely short, so the two films that you see, it's one of segment of our collective activities. So you can follow us on website where you see that we produce many other things, and we are looking forward to be part of this exciting event's life in March. So it will have continuation with our learning play. But at the same time, we also produce newspapers, do sometimes actions in public space, radio plays, and of course exhibitions. But for us, we always insist on kind of educational.
Oh, Dimitri, I think your video is frozen, so if you turn that off, then we can still hear your audio, I think.
Hello.
Hello. Can you? We can hear you. Can you hear us?
You can. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So.
But maybe because I can't see you now, we are more or less in equal positions. So anyway, just to finish with this, and for us, that educational aspect of our work is very important. What you will see today, it's two films from Zongspiel Triptych, which we realized between 2008 and 2010. And we try to develop a form of dialectical musicals, which are based on concrete analysis of a concrete situation. So both films are based on very concrete cases, which we developed and tried to represent or embrace the totality of that social and political construction. And so for us, it's the core of realistic production. But we must not, excuse me, someone calling in the door, just a moment, sorry. Sorry, I'm extremely sorry. My wife came back and, you know, at home it's always nice, you try to sort it out. So, but for us, that the issue of realistic production, we also very much trying to get into the so-called Lukács-Brecht debate. So, and actually for us, just following the Brecht logic, realism is it's not kind of a simple method, but should be use of all means, all new, tried and untried, derived from art and deriving from other sources. We use a lot of research materials, sociology, oral stories for production of our film. So in order to put reality into people's hands as something to be mastered. So it's very important because then we return back to that educational aspect. So this particular form of Zongspiel also derives from some variety of construction of dramas like ancient tragedy where we use the choir. And also, of course, it's very specific development of Brechtian method of estrangement, which through songs and subversive dialogues reveals relation of the power. And we want to show how social and political relations are temporary construction and thus are changeable. We also imitate amateurish learning plays where the speech act is a direct implementation of Kruntzons, as John said, Plumpes Denken, also very important aspect developed by Brechtian speech, which allows the audience to permanently question the way how things are and escape over identification with any one character. So all our Zongspiel are attempts to create a new form of contemporary tragedy in which people, the public, the viewer, call for consolidation in order to combat the collapse of society. So, and here we come to the essence because the film is the film. It's something that is already mediated and the viewer have kind of passive position towards it. But at the same time, we also follow that logic that we consider that play is the film, is a production of new spectator, an actor who starts where the film ends, who only starts as so as to complete it, but in a life. So it's actually a little bit changed quote from Louis Althusser for Marx. So I hope you enjoy the watching the films, and we'll be back with all sort of questions. I know that film have quite complicated narration, but at the same time it's also entertaining. So for us it's also a combination of education via entertaining. It's very based on very strong musical emotional impact, and I hope we can continue and discuss it, and then we get exactly into that educational part of this production. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dmitry. See you in a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you. Дорогие друзья, у каждого времени есть свой символ. Символ, который не только отражает современность, но и указывает дорогу в будущее. Символом новых, модернизированной России станет башня «Газпрома», возведенная на величественных брегах Невы в прекрасном городе Петербурге. 403 метра. Это высота, достойная новой России. Эта башня будет возвышаться над городом, как негасимый маяк, указывающий нам путь. С башней...
Is Dmitry, can he hear us? Dmitry, are you there? Can you hear us?
Good applause. It was very nice.
I have, we had a number of discussions earlier in the day, and I had quite a number of questions that I was going to ask you, but Renee made an interesting point at the end of the last discussion about how film makes us think and how it maybe makes us think about our concrete situations here or something, and I wanted to ask you and then maybe also ask the audience, and I think also I encourage you to ask the audience questions and vice versa. There seems to be a tactic in your films where you talked earlier in the introduction about wanting to make films about concrete situations,
yeah.
But a tactic that I think maybe tries to make them translatable or something is that the concrete situations are represented through typical characters. Mm-hmm, so they're not particular characters, they're never named, but there's maybe a typical character that might translate. So the politician, the lesbian or something like that.
Mm-hmm,
so that seems to me like to be a tactic to maybe within the film as a pedagogical, a teaching tactic or a way to make the films make us think that might allow us to look at these concrete situations and relate them to our own situations.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered whether I'm reading that right or not, and if there's anything you wanted to say, or whether the audience thought something similar like that, and whether that in fact was the case, whether it did make us relate in some way to our own experience or our own thoughts of particular situations. That's the end of my question.
Oh, I see. I think it's a lazy question. But actually, in general, I completely agree, because so that... issues how we construct typicality. It's a really big issue. Why these characters, why not the other? And even if you find your place in this particular situation, how would you act in this? Can you, that's why we think that there is no direct identification or overt identification. But I think it's really opened up the space for that sort of mental interventions. So, and actually for us it's also very interesting to derive, so we take a particular case, like going from concrete to more universal, because actually what we try to reflect is totality of current historical moment and we deconstruct through showing how it's constructed, how it's temporarily feasible in this particular moment. That's why if we think it differently, it can be changeable. So that, I think, for us the main thing. So I don't know if I answered or not. So.
No, I think that's very interesting. I wonder whether anybody in the audience has any kind of thoughts in response to that, or whether that was actually an effect that anybody felt. I'm looking around, but nobody's really...
Uh-huh.
I hope somebody did, because I decided whilst I was coming up here that was the only question I was going to ask. So, wow, okay. Yes, okay, well done, thank you.
We just watched two of them in back to back, so I think that's probably, it takes a little time for people to warm up, so I'm a warm up.
Is it it's René?
Yeah, hi.
Hi René, hi. Nice, I recognize your voice.
Yeah, nice to
meet
you.
Yeah.
Well, no, I want to continue with this typical question, because is it connected to a kind of universalism, or is it more specific, this kind of strategy of the typical? Because in a way, I was having that question while I was watching the works again, and I was wondering, in fact, if an out for someone watching isn't, in fact, this kind of particularity that everyone feels singular. Mm-hmm. And then when confronted with these typical, there's just too many cracks to like slip through and just absolve oneself of finding oneself within this storyline, you know, or construction. So, you know, whether there's a kind of philosophical reason that you're going, towards this strategy of the typical, and is that tied to kind of an idea of universal, or... is there something else, and how do you deal with this kind of singularity, let's say, question of singularity within the world?
It's really a very, very important issue. First of all, I think we are really kind of dissidents, because I absolutely agree that the major and very interesting production right now, it's about the issues of singularity, and it's about issues of particular. And all that stories, oral evidences of different things, it's very important, definitely. But we are very interested what brings different stories, different singularities together, certain common ground. For example, we walk in Serbia, and I can just imagine, and maybe it's more easy to explain on construction of lesbian character. Because when we walked together with this lady who actually played, she's very famous representative of LGBT movement in Serbia. She's from Novi Sad, Lori, and she's even spokesperson in Brussels when discussed situation around violation of gay and lesbian rights in Serbia. But at the same time, we collected many stories. And when we develop a character together with our actors and with our co-authors from Serbia, for us it was very important to bring many lines together. If it's about universalization, but at the same time, I think that many particular members of this community can find themselves into that stories and also can be challenged, because that's kind of construction of the image. So I think this particular method allow much more challenging political subjectivization of the people. I don't know, maybe we are not right, but also maybe drawn us into very complex discussion on reality. Because if you remember that the ABC, what is reality, you immediately run into that Engels notion, depicting the typical characters under the typical circumstances in the revolutionary development. So I'm just improvising, I don't have this direct quote, and I'm gonna know it in Russian. So, and I think that from the beginning, that to represent something, and films, it's always about representation. It's not about immediacy. It's about how you construct something. It can be even documentary film. I don't right now make such big difference. So it's always construction. It's always the author who is speaking. So we also kind of very skeptical about different form of fake immediacy. When you handle mic to normal people and ask how do you feel and then collect the stories, but at the same time you always edit it, it's always have its temporary limitation, it's always constructed, it's always fiction. But at the same time, the reality of this fiction can become a social fact, can be really challenge people in their comprehension of the historical situation and also push them to act. As I said in my introduction, that actually then you, the people who watch the films, who thought about it, who keep thinking, that they go out into real life and do something. Because they change, they could be changed through artistic production and encounters. Particular aesthetic encounters also. So that's many things. It's really, I'm not sure that we can, in this short exchange of opinions, I can justify our position. And at the same time, I understand that we really maybe trying to take that risky step.
Hi, Dimitri. We don't know.
Hi.
I had one thought about the typical and then a question. I mean, one of the sources I'm guessing that this is coming out of is, you know, the Lukács' discussion of it, and what seems kind of relevant there is the question of eccentricity as a way to kind of navigate the typical. And, you know, the injunction he gives is sort of saying, well, you know, let's have done novels about bourgeois eccentricities and their anxieties, etc., and let's show, in fact, how eccentricity is a generic thing, it's a class issue. So in fact, if you reduce it, that's the kind of way to navigate the singular and the typical. But what I wanted to ask you about is one of the things that's been a common theme in a lot of the stuff that's been shown this weekend, and that's, I think, a little different than what we just watched from y'all, is in a lot of things we've watched, there's an attempt to use, to incorporate, let's say, kind of directly, almost as some of the spoken subject matter, political and aesthetic theory, recognizably as such, actually taking that on, not just as sort of theoretical works, but actually something spoken of, displayed on screen. And in these works, you know, there's something a little different, but maybe similar, which is to make, so to speak, political cinema, or rather, cinema that hopefully engenders political encounters amongst an audience and their wider situations, to make a kind of political cinema that also explicitly uses political speech and catchphrases and kind of discernibly political content. And so this is what I want to kind of ask you about, is how you understand the particularity of political cinema that has a real edge to it, that however takes as its very subject matter what we understand as the realm of politics as such. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh. Yeah, but maybe we a little bit, I don't know, naively or not naively believe that the reality of the film, because it has its own reality, it's political reality. And there are certain ways to get into it and get out of it, or get something out of it. So, for example, the two films that you watched today, they played very important role in a certain political context. So they were not produced abstractly. So for us, the case around Gazprom Tower in St. Petersburg, that was actually one of the most heated political confrontation between power and so-called civil society. And actually, we felt that we must come up with a statement. It was a very interesting situation for us to interfere, not directly in the form of real political life, but through that mediation of the film, and challenge both sides. And actually, it got very important effect on local situation. The same with Serbian film. Actually, it was produced in 2010, where it was already a lot of tension around particular LGBT rights, but for us it also was not so much important, like in both films. For example, the film about the tower, but it's not just about the tower, it's more about the power and its placement in society. Then also we decided not to make just a film like the trigger of the story, trigger of the case, it's eviction of the Roma settlement. But then it comes together with the stories of the worker, of disabled war veteran, and representative of LGBT movement. And how they connected to each other for us was very important. And here we really construct the model of politics. But at the same time, both films have something in common. We always, that's why I speculate a bit on tragedies, the possibilities of constructing contemporary tragedies. We use certain type of music, and also we always showing society at the edge of collapsing. But we are not just contemplate this collapse. We always come trying to push it and to reconsider what should be done to reconsider society. And to, we're not offering direct political proposal how this should be done, but at the same time we always feel that we at the edge of, I don't like this word, catastrophe, but in a certain way it is. And actually, we should make a lot of conscious and political efforts to overcome. And I think through our films, people get into the particular issues, and our experience of screening and discussing films in Petersburg, in Moscow, in Novi Sad, in Serbia, in Zagreb, actually showed that we manage a little bit on a very modest scale to get this particular response. And what is really important for us, we also kind of, we're trying to be popular. That's why we're always trying to develop a language that address much wider audience than the audience of particular professional, cultural or art crowd. All our films are free, have free access online, they're distributed under Creative Commons, and actually particularly these two films are incredibly popular. I mean, just simply counting on number of people who watch it online, but we know how it was also distributed through different networks and so on. So that's for us really very important and political aspects of this work. I don't know if I managed to answer again your very complex questions, but hopefully a little bit.
Hello, Dmitry. Got a couple of requests for comments for you. And first, I was really struck by the similarity, I guess, of the tower film. Was the first of all, it's a Babylonian tower, and then second of all, a piece of Out of the Holy Mountain by Alexander Jodorowsky, where in the mountain on the top there was the same similar table where the mortals were sitting. So. If you have any comments on that, and the second of all, the again in the tower, the the red streams, which I understood to be like blood vessels to be sucking the blood and life out of the people. So if you would like to say some comments, if you or anything about it, I would be really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, we don't know these examples, but it's interesting to find some references to cultural context that we don't know. About that, we call them tentacles, and actually sometimes we speculate in our work process it was called octopus. So, right, octopus that embrace everyone in the dreadful army of people. So, you know, sometimes we really, we have a group of about six co-authors who works on each film, and each one brings its own elements that we discuss and then incorporate into the film when we agree on it. So, and both films have kind of strong surrealistic elements that we find also very irrational. So, actually, usually at the beginning I was asked to put the questions. So, that's particularly normally the questions that we address audience. What do you think about that? What does it mean for you? Because here, of course, there are some could be different interpretation from very superficial one to sometimes super philosophical. But for us it's also was also symbolic production. This table that stands on the top of mountain or the rock or kind of podest, it's also when they start to appear, this is the dynamic how these particular populist speeches are emphasized by this kind of direct embracing, or when the tentacles coming out of this podest and they spread out of the society, it's quite obvious metaphor. There are one more metaphor of the telephone that actually also very complicated and also a bit surrealistic. So, yeah, so, but we always, you know, we always try to work with, also actually it was very Brechtian quote, which I like a lot. So, it's a good art, nothing obvious in it. So, we always add some elements that actually help to construct very thick, very layered composition. So at one level, it really addressed to anyone. It's really the work that doesn't need so special, sophisticated culinary knowledge of history of art or whatever. But on the other hand, if you more experienced view, you can get more some particular pleasures out of the film and also food for souls. So I think it's really important, or at least we try to construct it like that. So it's not flat, I hope.
Hi, thanks for that, Dimitri. Another question for you, you've probably been asked it before. I was just wondering with your collective or your group of filmmakers being called Stodelat, what do you try and take from the history of that phrase? You know, it's the Chernyshevsky novel, the Tolstoy essay, the Lenin essay, and there's a, I think there's a Godard essay, and there's probably, you know, hundreds of documents called What Is to Be Done. I think one of the most interesting ones for me was with the Chernyshevsky novel, which sort of starts off as a traditional sort of bourgeois sensation novel, and then sort of twists itself and turns around and says we're addressing the people to come, you know, and it turns into a story about how to set up, you know, communized industries, and it's a sort of exemplary novel in that way, but also these essays and these works become important as fulcrums or catalysts in retrospect and at the time. I was just thinking it's quite there's quite a lot of bravado, and maybe Do you think maybe it's quite foolish to call yourself Stodelat? It puts a huge burden on you.
Yeah, actually, when we started already many years ago, it was more than 8 years already. Actually, for us, it was actually at a certain moment, I was completely, not just me, but all of us, particularly in the Western context, was very tiring to repeat that the most point of reference is Chernyshevsky. Because actually, in Russia, it's still school reading. So it's one of the biggest novels of 19th century. And right now I would speculate that no one remember, I mean, on generals, on bigger scale, so of readership, no one remember about Lenin, but Chernyshevsky, it's still that everybody knows on the street, wherever. So it's really some biggest part of our culture. But for us it was very important because in a super humble way it was the novel about self-organization and modest building of self-organized educational cells that also engaged in different forms of activities, in workshops and reading groups, and also economically sustainable. And also for us, the novel was written in 1862, and it was also kind of the days of beginning of capitalist accumulation, of accumulation by dispossession, and all the sort of conditions that drove people into revolutionary and social struggle. So that for us was very important point of connecting things, of actualizing. Actually, we very much like to work with historical phenomena. And actually, also, just to simplify, we are very much into that, trying to reinvent these modes of actualization in Benjamin sense. What lost in the history, we try to actualize in completely another historical setting and test it, if it works or not, let's see. And then, of course, Lenin. But Lenin, this particular brilliant novel, because it really brings us to the core of the issues of the position of intelligentsia, the position of intellectuals, in the spontaneity of people's struggle. So, and Lenin brilliantly speculated about that limits of trade unionism, particularly in this piece, and also that spontaneity. So it speculates on the urgency of external agency, the agency of interpretation and analysis. So that unfortunately this agency, from my point of view, was through the whole 20th century, in particular after 68, was permanently under the question as totalizing agencies that always call for that kind of non-representational immediacy of people's activities was completely prevailed for good or for bad. But also what was important for us, because as I said at the beginning, one of our major activities is publishing the newspaper. And actually this particular article also gave us a lot of very important analyses of important of party's newspaper, those days it was on party's newspaper, but newspaper as collective organizer. So it's actually that medium that helps you to construct your own collective voice or empower your small group of involved people, but at the same time, it's a medium of communication, a medium of structuring the situation, the medium of influence. So, and so these two references, and then of course Godard, and then you can also, as you mentioned, actually what was actually was particular, as you say, not ridiculous, but funny about this very grandiose question, but at the same time, it also was very big provocation our local situation with a huge skepticism, not just skepticism, but it was very hostile situation towards any cultural worker who dare to take a clear political stand and say, okay, we are leftists, we are not postmodernist, structuralist, whoever. Okay, guys, we belong to this tradition and we would like to continue. And for that, just last thing, and for us, just claiming this question was some kind of already kind of political gesture. Sorry, okay.
It's, yeah, we're just sort of running out of time a little bit. I think there was one more question, and it's over to you.
Yeah, I was hoping you might explain a bit more about what you're talking about, the concept of sort of, you know, portraying how the situation could be different, or that there is an aspect of changeability about it, and especially how that might relate to the use of the typical characters, because For me, I didn't, well, especially the typical characters didn't really give me that sort of sense. You know, it kind of gives a sense, especially in the first film, of sort of, you know, it's a force and there are groups of people and this is kind of how they're determined to react to the to the politicians and stuff.
You mean, so you couldn't identify these people who act in the tower? You mean this group of people? Because for us, they also, there is kind of typical figures from the power, like the priest, the artist, the gallery owner, and below you also see kind of society constructed through the group of different social groups, like unemployed clerks, migrants, left radicals, and so on, social society activists. So I don't really understand what you... Was that the problem, or it was not so... or you question if it was also the principle of typicality that was stand behind these characters?
I was just wondering, well, you mentioned the idea that you're trying to get across, that it could, that the situation or the way it worked could be changed, and I was just wondering what it was you're trying to do to get that across in the film, and was it through the typical characters, as I think you suggested at one point, or through other techniques?
No, I think so. The whole construction, I think. So, it's again bring us maybe to ABC of the forms that we deal with. So, yeah, we're showing how around one case the nexus of different forces is structured. Because more than often, for example, we have heaps of documentation of people who, normal people, so to say, the people who activists, the people who just kind of citizens, but at the same time there are no access to the power. For example, it's very few possibilities to get real documents on behavior of the rich and the powerful. What we get in the press, it's a bullshit. It's completely propaganda construction. So we decided if we don't have these materials, okay, we imagine that. Because we have a lot of different hints and materials and we somehow construct, okay, that's how Gazprom board discussing their particular politics could look like. That's about their relations, okay. And if you think that the power is completely opaque, we should make an effort and show, okay guys, it looks like that. It's not so, actually, it's ugly, but we can deal somehow with it. And maybe in one moment we imagine situation when we don't need power like this and we don't want to be governed like this. So that, I think, it was very important message. In many situations, like actually more or less the same structure you saw in Partisans, where you also have that groups with oligarchs, Tikkun and Serbian nationalists and so on. So for us it's very important to reveal, okay guys, so that it is. So do you like it or not? So I think that particular help us to reveal that construction, and actually I think it's also kind of very humble approach when you know how things are done, so they can be redone.
I think, so that's us out of time, I think. I think that's quite a good place to stop as well, though. So, Dimitri, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And I'll give you a call next week about something else. All right. Thank you very much. So yeah, thank you everybody for coming. It's been a very challenging and interesting and rich and confusing weekend. I would just say that we're going to be doing a project with, we're doing three episodes. This is the end of the first one. There's a second one in a month's time, which is more about ideas of nihilism and self-doubt. And then the third episode involves a big project with Stodolak, where four or five members of them will be in Glasgow for a week, and we'll be hopefully working with a group of 20 people to produce a learning play at the tramway at the end of March. So if you're interested in that, I'm sure when we know what it is, we'll be able to tell you a bit more about it. So thank you again for coming. I hope it's been worthwhile, and please join us for a drink in the bar if it's still open, and we'll see you again. Thank you.